are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 to 20 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about what transpired over the weekend between the Giants and the A's, and also what transpired with all the teams in the wildcard hunt along with the Giants. So this series, of course, did not start off well. The Giants lost on Friday and Saturday by scores of 6-0 in each game. But then they broke out on Sunday, winning 14-2. So I said entering the weekend, the Giants really needed to win at least one of these games, and it really felt like a must-win game on Sunday after just getting killed by the A's on Friday and Saturday, and the Giants did just that. So it did get the opponents the Giants are competing with for the wildcard spots had good weekends, and so the Giants fell out of playoff position. Their high playoff odds took a big hit, but they're still in the thick of the race with 8 games at home remaining. So we'll break it all down coming up on today's show. First, a little bit about me. I've been an off and on contributor for the baseball analysis sites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I started a Giants podcast called Covecast in 2015 and then joined the Locked On Podcast Network prior to the 2019 season. I'm also a lifelong diehard Giants fan. So, man, did they need that win on Sunday. And it was great to do it emphatically like they did after scoring no runs in each of the first 2 games of this series, breaking out for 14 runs on Sunday. Just about as ideal as it could be in that final game. And look, if you're going to win just one game in a series, you should make it the last one. And so that's what the Giants did. Believe it or not, they evened up the run differential in the series after losing 6-0 back-to-back games. By winning by 12, it was 14-14 in the series. Giants ended up winning just one of their 6 games against the A's this year. If the Giants don't make the playoffs, everyone will look back at those 2 games that the Giants really should have won against the A's in San Francisco. So after this game on Sunday, plus those 2 games they should have won in San Francisco, the Giants really should have gone 3-3 against the A's this year. But instead, they're 1-5. So, you know, their record could be 28-24 at this point if they had just won those 2 games that they absolutely should have won. But anyway, that's in the past. As it is now, the Giants are 26-26 with 8 games remaining, and they'll all be at Oracle Park. One of them will technically be a road game against the Padres, making up for the games that the Giants missed, the one game that the Giants haven't made up from that COVID-19 scare with Alex Dickerson. But so 4 games against the Rockies starting tonight, and then 4 games against the Padres, including a doubleheader on Friday. So in the wildcard race, the Giants are technically not in playoff position anymore. They have the same winning percentage as the Reds and Brewers, but the Giants lose those tiebreakers, which the first tiebreaker is intra-division record. And so the Giants are 15-17 against the National League West, whereas the Reds are 19-18 against the NL Central, and the Brewers are 16-16 against the NL Central. So the Giants would lose the tiebreaker currently against either of those 2 teams, and so they do, and that's why they're out of playoff position, because the number 7 seed is currently the Phillies, who are 1 game over 500. So the Giants are just half a game behind the Phillies for that number 7 seed. And I guess technically they're just half a game out of playoff position by not winning those tiebreakers with the Reds or Brewers. So the thing is with that tiebreaker is that all of the Giants' remaining games are against teams in their own division. So they really do control their own destiny in a way, because if they can just win their games, win a lot of these next eight games, then they'll A, put themselves in good position record-wise, and B, they will have improved their intra-division record. So it's still, with a week remaining, less than a week remaining, it's still incredibly tight and kind of difficult to foresee all the different possible scenarios, especially because of the fact that second place teams in each division automatically make the postseason as well. So in the East and the Central, those second place, third place differences are just one game. And so the Phillies could easily move into second place, and then the Giants are chasing the Marlins. And likewise, the Reds and Brewers are chasing the Cardinals, and they're just one game back of the Cardinals. So suddenly, if like the Reds move into second place, the team the Giants are competing with there is the Cardinals, and they also would not currently win the tiebreaker against St. Louis either. So it's all going to come down to the Giants need to play well in their last eight games, and this series against the Rockies is the one they have to do well in, because the Padres are going to be a really tough opponent. Rockies come in, they just lost 3 out of 4 to the Dodgers. Nolan Arenado is injured. He's dealing with a shoulder injury, and it's very possible, if not likely, that he is not going to play any one of these four games against the Giants. So obviously you're never hoping for someone to be injured, but it is good news for the Giants from that perspective that these games are so huge. So really, the Rockies come into town with just one player who's a real threat at the plate, and that's Trevor Story. Charlie Blackmon is still there, but he's actually been like roughly league average this year. So the Rockies offense, as I have said numerous times on the show, like in the offseason, we talked about it, perpetually overrated. They're actually one of the worst offensive teams in baseball. Their offensive group, counting defense and base running this year, has been 27th out of 30 teams in all of baseball by wins above replacement, Fangraphs wins above replacement. And their collective offense, when park adjusted properly, has been 28th out of 30 teams in baseball, about 25% below league average offense. So the Giants need to take care of this team, especially when they're missing Nolan Arenado. The one threat that the Rockies come into town with is starting pitching. And I mean, yes, major league hitters can do damage no matter what. So I'm not saying it's impossible that for the Rockies to do well offensively, or to, you know, one big swing of the bat can change a game. So of course it's possible, but the Rockies do come in as not a great offensive team, missing their best player in Nolan Arenado. But the one thing that the Rockies do have right now is a couple of good starting pitchers, and the Giants have to face one of them tonight in Germán Márquez. Márquez is a really tough right-handed pitcher, roughly 15% better than league average. And so the Giants will have their hands full with him, and then Kyle Freeland, another tough pitcher, lefty, on Tuesday. The Giants do really well against left-handed pitchers. Freeland pitched really well against the Giants in his first start against them. I think he wasn't as good in his second start. But these two pitchers on tonight and Tuesday will be tough, potentially. And then on Wednesday and Thursday, it gets a little easier. So these are really the games to bear down, and the results could have a huge impact on how the rest of this thing goes. You know, the Rockies could very well go out and win tonight and tomorrow on the back of these starting pitchers, and that could very well just like end the Giants season. So they need to win at least one of these first two games. And if they lose one, then you really want to win the next two and win 3 out of 4 in this series. I think splitting, they would be all right, but then they'd probably have to split against San Diego. So you'd like to win 3 out of 4 against the Rockies, and then I think you possibly could lose 3 out of 4 to the Padres and still sneak in. But at this point, I think you're going to need at least a .500 record to get into the postseason, looking at how the rest of it's going to go with all of these teams and the fact that the Giants may not win any of the tiebreaker scenarios. So we'll talk more about that and the remaining schedules for these other teams in the second half of the show. But first, I want to talk about Indeed. Can the Guinness Book of World Records give 2020 world's greatest delay of game? Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/LockedOnMLB. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/LockedOnMLB. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through September 30th. Next, I want to talk about our good friends over at Built Bar. If you know me, you know that I love these bars. And I wouldn't be saying that about these bars if they weren't so low in sugar, because I'm a health conscious person and I'm not going to be eating a protein bar that basically is a candy bar. But what's great about Built Bar is that they taste like a candy bar. They taste like candy, except they're somehow very low in sugar and high in protein. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate and they're soft and easy to chew. I'm going to give an example of the nutritional facts about one of these bars. The peanut butter bar has 19 grams of protein, just 180 calories, and 5 grams of sugar. Built Bar has reset the promo code for this relaunch. There's a free cooler with every purchase while supplies last. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. All right, as promised here in the second half of the show, I want to talk more about the remaining schedules for all of these other teams that the Giants are competing with for the last two spots in the postseason in the National League. It's really the Brewers, the Reds, potentially like the Cardinals, like if somebody sneaks into second place and the Cardinals fall out, and the Phillies and the Marlins as well. The Rockies are also still in play, as are the Mets. So it definitely is a little bit crammed. So the Brewers and the Reds begin a series tonight, a 3-game series in Cincinnati. So that's actually not ideal from my perspective, because the issue is you can't have both teams losing. Somebody's going to win. And as I've said, the Giants do not hold a tiebreaker, and so they're currently tied. So even if the Giants win tonight, they're going to be still tied with one of these two teams, the Brewers or the Reds, and the Giants will not hold that tiebreaker. So even though they're only half a game back, they have no chance of passing both of these teams tonight. Whereas if they weren't playing each other, they could potentially both lose. So I think if you're a Giants fan, you hope for somebody to win 2 out of 3, but not a sweep. Because if there's a sweep, then you have to win all of your next three games just to keep pace, and then you're still behind with the tiebreaker. Although, as I have said, if one of those teams passes the Cardinals for second place, then it becomes a different story, and then you're competing with the Cardinals. So maybe you do hope for a sweep, and you also hope for the Cardinals to get swept. So then Milwaukee or Cincinnati moves into second place, and then whoever's losing falls back, and then the Cardinals also fall back. So there's so many different possibilities, and we'll continue to provide updates every single day this week. The Cardinals have 3 at Kansas City, so if you're hoping for the Cardinals to get swept, That is not likely here. The Marlins play four at the Braves, so that's a tough series for them. The Mets play three at Tampa Bay, or home versus Tampa Bay, rather. The Phillies have four at Washington, so that's good for the Phillies. So moving to the next series, the Brewers have five at St. Louis to make up for some games that the Cardinals missed due to COVID-19. But that's going to be an enormous five-game series, and if one of them can dominate, win like four out of five or five out of five, they'll probably move into second place, and then the loser will fall back. So that has the potential to make a huge impact in how this race ends up. The Reds have three at Minnesota after their three with the Brewers. So that's a tough series for the Reds. The Phillies will have three at Tampa Bay. The Marlins will have three at the Yankees, so that's tough. The Mets have four at Washington, so that's helpful to them. The Phillies will have three at Tampa Bay, and then the Rockies have three at Arizona. So even though we're so close to the end here, it's still very difficult, if not impossible, to really predict the outcomes based on these upcoming series. So that's why the truest way for the Giants to just avoid all of these complicated scenarios is just to really bear down and just win one day at a time and put themselves in the best position that way. If they can win like seven out of their last eight games, they'll probably be in. So it's going to be fascinating to watch. The Giants tonight will have Johnny Cueto on the mound against Germán Márquez. Cueto has had an up and down year, but they really need him to step up in this start. Just to quickly summarize what happened over the weekend with the A's, Giants just got killed in the first game. Logan Webb was not sharp at all, gave up six earned runs in three and a third. And the offense mustered just three hits, struck out 11 times. They did have five walks, but really got nothing going against Chris Bassitt. A's pitching is really good, so this was another case of possibly just good pitching stopping your hot offense as the Giants have had all season. On Saturday, the Giants lost 6-0 again. Kevin Gausman was really good, only allowed one run in six innings, had six strikeouts. He's just been a really good pitcher for the Giants this year. They'll probably get just one more start out of him. Maybe he could come in relief in, you know, the last game of the season or something, but just a great year that he's had. Giants offense couldn't get anything going against Jesus Luzardo. On Sunday, the Giants benched Joey Bart, and I think for good reason. He's just been overwhelmed by major league pitching, chasing pitches out of the zone, just no discipline in his at-bats. When he's had his hits, he's hitting the ball on the ground. He's not elevating the ball. So Gabe Kapler said as much and said that they were giving him a couple days off for a mental reset. So he sat on Sunday, and Chadwick Tromp was in there, and Tromp had a great game. He had three hits, including a two-run homer in the third inning that broke the Giants out of a long scoreless streak, gave them the lead, set the tone for the day, and the Giants just went off offensively, had 15 hits, eight walks. Austin Slater had two hits and a walk. Daniel Robertson, coming in for defense, had two hits. Belt had a hit and three walks. Darren Ruff had two hits, including a homer, and had two walks. Mauricio Dubon, two hits and a walk. Brandon Crawford had two hits, including a grand slam. Luis Basabe had a hit and a walk. And Chadwick Tromp had the three hits, including the home run. And it was Tyler Anderson on the mound, and he pitched great as well. 5 2/3, only two runs, zero earned. Three walks, four strikeouts. Just a really nice bounce-back start for Tyler Anderson, who has struggled of late. Sean Anderson has been brought back and has looked really good out of the bullpen since coming back. His stuff looks way better, and he seems to have found his command. So that's great to see and a huge development if he can turn back into an effective reliever. So anyway, that is all the time we have for today. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow talking about tonight's huge game against the Rockies. You're not going to want to miss it. We'll provide all the updates about the other games as well, where the Giants stand. Just want to mention, lastly, the Giants playoff odds are now 44% according to Fangraphs. So just a little bit less than a coin flip. They were up to 70% a few days ago, down to like 33% before yesterday. So it's been a real wild ride here these last few days, and tomorrow it'll probably change a lot again. So we'll provide all of those updates for you. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. Whatever you can do is very much appreciated. Thanks so much for listening, and until then, we'll see you tomorrow.